Welcome to another fabulous edition of Only Funny to Us. I am TJ.
I am Ben.
I am Cliff.
I'm changing my name.
How was that different from any other week ever?
I got a new nickname.
Dumbass.
I know what it is.
Poots McAllister again?
No.
Nope.
Sexy Pop. We're doing the Sexy Pop. We're doing the Sexy Pop. We're doing the Sexy Pop.
What ironic friend of yours gave you that name?
No one gave him the name. The other day, I was in the grocery store and I saw a bag of Sexy Pop popcorn that had like a British flag as the background for the, you know, the bag. I sent it to Crowley. He goes, that's going to be my new nickname, Sexy Pop.
I said it just like that through text.
You know, yeah. You are so desperate for attention, we can't even stand it.
That's how I read it.
It's not a nickname if you give it to yourself.
Anyway.
All right. Well, speaking of attention, let's open up with this. I want to thank Kathy Elliott for the great write-up in The List magazine, which is able to be found everywhere.
All over the place.
Thank you, Kathy. TheListMagazine.net.
What was great is when we first saw the cover photo, was it you that we all look fat in it, and he looks like the Cambodian?
Cliff said that he looked
so we all look fat in it.
Yeah, we all look fat in it except for Steve, who looks like the starving Ethiopian. Thanks for giving us a little scale that the rest of us look, you know, bigger than we are. Because we're all really svelte, in shape guys.
Well, if you switch to a low-carb diet, you could look like me.
We'll look like we're eat it with cancer?
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to, because that's the look that I want to go after.
Well, yeah.
Last legs.
Anyway.
But it was a great write-up. I want to thank her very much. Go pick up the List magazine. Really all over the place. I know, Ben, you picked up some at the Bilo here in Hartsville.
Yep.
And that's where I went and stole mine.
Yeah.
Stolen from Ray's.
Ray's.
Yeah.
I need to get a copy so I can take to my mom.
I got some at the house.
You going to autograph it for your mom?
TJ may have some here.
I got some here. So make sure you pick one up. It really is a great write-up, and thank you very much, Kathy Elliott, for the write-up on that. And on that, on our Facebook page, and we are looking into it right now, one of our fans, I hate calling fans, can we call them Shadowheads?
No.
What is wrong with Shadowheads?
Someone on our Facebook page.
All right, someone on our Facebook page.
What's a Shadowhead?
Well, our silhouette.
It's the thing TJ invented over there in his chair.
Oh, I got you. I'm sorry.
They were called Steve Heads at one time.
Yeah, it was all right when they were Steve Heads.
Steve Heads were people who liked Steve.
Right.
No, it's two of them.
Yeah, there's only two of those.
Yeah, one of them gave him a friggin' Keurig. So.
There's his mom.
Thanks.
And your mom. Has your mom listened to the show yet?
No.
Whatever.
Thanks for promoting us with your family there.
I thought we were big over at the retirement home. I didn't realize they had no clue who we were.
I don't think my mom would be very interested in listening to us.
My parents listen in heaven.
That you're assuming. Well,
you're yeah.
All right, stop.
I have no words.
You're assuming a lot.
All right, back on track. A young lady on our fan page, on our Facebook page, which you can go to facebook.com/onlyfunnytous, has raised a very interesting thing, which we are looking into about broadcasting our show from the Florence Comic Con.
Which is the second annual.
It's actually getting pretty big. Cliff, you got more information about that, correct?
A little bit.
What you got for us?
Oh, well, it's just that it's... I really don't know.
I know it's at the SIMT building.
I didn't know you were going to throw to me on that, but yeah, it's at the SIMT building.
Next Sunday from 10 to 6.
10 to 6.
On the 14th.
Tickets are still available.
And it's going to be a great event. I mean, there's, you know, my stepson, Tyler... went to one of the Comic-Cons. I want to say it was either in Charlotte or in Myrtle Beach, and he got to hang out with Stan Lee. He got his picture taken with him, got an autograph with him, so it's very cool. Now, I never
Who's
got
Stan into- Lee?
Marvel Comics?
Mm-hmm. Wrote the X-Men.
He was trying to be funny.
Oh, okay. Well,
I've heard of him. I know.
I never got into comic books, ever.
I was never into comic books.
I mean, but they are. I mean, there is a huge following.
Oh yeah,
and I feel like a dork that I've never gotten into them. But
that's funny because most people feel like dorks for getting into them.
No, they are a special breed. They and I'm hoping that they come out.
Comic books, they're graphic novels.
No. Right? No, they're comic books. Dare you?
Now I've actually been corrected on that before by someone.
They're graphic novels.
Don't call them comic books.
Really?
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
seriously.
I mean, it's an old, it really, I mean, if you think about it, it's really an old art form. Oh. If you think about art telling stories, it goes back to the caveman days.
I was referring to the Walking Dead comics, and I was stopped mid-conversation and was told to refer to them as graphic novels.
Really?
And I'm like, really? Seriously?
And what did you say to them?
I said, anyway.
Did they beat your ass?
No.
Okay.
I just want to go to see if there are any girls dressed up as Elizabeth from Bioshock.
Amen. That's the deal. But it is coming up on the 14th. It's Sunday the 14th at the SINT building. Tickets are still available. No Nuclear Comics over in Florence. They also have a shop over in Sumter. If you're wanting to get your tickets, you can go there. And I'm sure you can get them at the door as well. And it opens up at, you said, 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock until six. So we're hoping to get out there. Now, another big event coming up here locally is something that Ben is involved with, other than watching
Look
the
out,
game.
He'll throw to you. Look out. Be ready.
It's Concerts on Main.
Oh, is that? Yeah.
On Main? No. On College.
No, Concerts on Main.
Oh, I thank wrote, God I wrote, he had all the printed information over there.
And that's why, and you know what, and we talked about beforehand, real quick, Cliff, that I was going to talk to you about the Comic-Con.
Yeah, but
so
I
don't act surprised.
All I had was their
I know,
Facebook
but you've
been, and Ben knew I was going to talk about the concerts.
I do, but you've got the papers and you still got the name.
Concerts on Main.
As my dad always
not
used to
Maine.
Say.
It's not Main.
Oh, Concerts on Main.
As my dad used to always say, you'd fuck up a one car funeral procession.
So anyway. Well,
yeah.
I feel sweaty all of a sudden.
Well, yeah.
So anyway, this could be a fun edit.
No, son. Concerts on College.
No,
concerts,
that's staying in.
Concerts on Main.
College.
Damn it.
Who's that banging? My parents calling me? Concerts on
College.
So tell us about that, because I know you and David Trader are a big part of that, providing the sound on that.
We do the sound for it. So starts September the 11th, and it's going to be Justin Anderson, I believe. Starts at 6 o'clock, and it'll be every other Thursday through. Oh, there's four of them for September and October, every other Thursday.
And it's a very nice event. It's right there on College, right where Lulu's and Vintage is coming up from 4th.
Yeah, Sophia's
or
Pizzeria.
5th on up to the, does it go all the way up to Sophia's Pizzeria?
No. I mean, it's just in that area.
It's all in that area.
It's that block.
And it's really a fantastic event. I know we've gone out there while the stuff was going on, and we played Cornhole, which I dominated.
Yeah, well,
there's a reason.
I dominated. Because Crowley was my coach.
Badoomch.
But it is brought to you by Hilux Poly. It's really a neat event for anyone to come on out to.
Each week has a different sponsor.
And the first one, and I think that, isn't that one the overall sponsor, is the Hilux Poly?
I think every week has a different one.
Okay, we'll just go out there and check back with us. Check out with the Only Funny to Us podcast, our website, and our Facebook page, and we will keep you up to date with what those events are going to be.
6 o'clock this Thursday.
All right, well, speaking of going through October, and I can't believe that we're finally getting up to this time of year, it's the Haunted House time of year, and I will be out at Creepy Hollow DJing every Friday night and Saturday night. It's over near Bishopville. It's kind of hard to, it's one of those,
kind of, it's close to Lucknow.
Yeah, closer to Lucknow. And it really, they are listed in one of the top haunted house attractions in and around the area. And I got the opportunity, and I don't know who's going to be out there this year, but Erin Marie Hogan, who is a scream queen from horror movies that are coming out. In fact, they've got a movie coming out very soon, as a matter of fact, called House of Manson. It's about the Manson family murders, and she is a big part of it.
Really?
And that's coming out. But I got to hang out with her last year. Fantastic lady.
Great gal.
Look for House of Manson. It's going to be coming out very soon. Just spectacular. But Creepy Hollow is a fantastic event. And we were talking about you... Part of the Creepy Hollow, let me go ahead and walk you through it. There's two bus rides that go in.
Now, none come year, back out.
And none return. The way that it happens, there's two different bus rides. One is the Masters of Horror, which include Michael Myers, Jason Voorhees, and Freddy Krueger are on that one. And then there's the other one, which is, and it's killing me now, what's the scary guy with, that looks like a big bat?
Oh, the Jeepers Creepers.
Jeepers Creepers bus ride. And they're both really good. As you, if you take the Jeepers Creepers or the Masters of Horror, as you go down, they jump on the side of the bus. They've got the sides of the bus rigged with, it's like a dolly that runs up and down the side of the bus. And it looks like they're, you know, running up and down the side of the bus. They jump on top of it. They dive in. That goes out into the haunted graveyard, which is an incredible experience. Then it goes into the haunted house, which they have gone way above and beyond the special effects inside that haunted house. They've got a Michael Myers. They had one in there last year. They got a Michael Myers in there that's about 6.5 feet tall, just as frightening as can be. And then you do the hayride, which is just spectacular. But that's where I'll be, and we're going to plan on doing a couple of episodes from Creepy Hollow up in the DJ booth. So come out and join us, and we'll have a great big time.
Great big time.
Yay.
All right. Well, Steve's got some breaking news.
Yes, I do.
Breaking news.
Dun, 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 dun.
I just happened to be checking out Facebook, and I came across a little link here on Daily Mail UK. World exclusive. Jack the Ripper unmasked.
Okay.
How amateur sleuth used DNA breakthrough to identify Britain's most notorious criminal 126 years after a string of terrible murders.
And his name is Bob Smith. Bob Smith.
His name is Keith Crowley from Hartsville.
Keith Crowley from Hartsville, South Carolina.
Well, it turns out that they were able to get DNA evidence from a shawl that was found at one of the murder scenes.
Mm-hmm.
They test the descendants of the victim and suspect, and turns out that Jack the Ripper, ready for it? Was Polish-born Aaron Kasminski.
Was he a sailor?
No, he was a hairdresser.
Really?
Hairdresser, okay.
He lived in Whitechapel and was later put in an asylum.
Yeah, I think he was one of the. There were three or four good suspects, and they never were able to narrow down. Which
now,
one
how many
was.
Murders were there with the Jack the Ripper?
That was pretty interesting.
It was like six or seven. Was it that many?
A couple of handfuls.
Yeah.
Five?
I'd have to read the whole story.
Cliff
it's pretty lengthy.
Five.
Okay, Cliff says five.
Pretty lengthy, so.
So now are they going to go after him, go after his descendants, try to.
Yeah, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Take him to jail.
Well, it just turns out that Adam Kasminski is the world's oldest man.
He's still alive.
They just gave him a cake at the nursing home.
Yeah. Well, now they're going to take it away.
Hope it's got a file in it.
What, I mean, how does that make you feel when one of the oldest things that we've grown up with has now been solved? It's like, okay, now what?
Well, it's interesting.
I mean, it is interesting. I mean,
yeah,
did so they? I mean,
cool.
So
well,
it's beyond
cool,
the shadow
yeah.
of a doubt that this is the guy.
They said based on DNA evidence,
this is him.
That's
so
him.
If it was Law and Order, we would be sending him to jail.
Dun dun dun
I
dun.
I guess so.
Dun.
Yeah.
Dun dun.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
All right, you know it's over. The joke's over. Why are you still doing that?
Well, I was doing the Law and Order sound.
Not very well.
Mm-mm. That sounded like something. I don't even know what that sounded like.
Okay. Well, let's go back to, you know, whatever it was.
We were talking about Creepy Hollow and the buses.
I just saw that, so I wanted to share it with everybody.
First haunted,
saw it was interesting.
How about first haunted house you ever went to?
Oh, my God. I don't even remember.
Lake Robinson Rescue Squad.
I'm going to have to say that.
When it was on 151.
Actually, you know, it was probably when they used to have the Halloween carnival at the Armory every year?
Yes.
Used to go to that, too.
They had a haunted house in the old boxing training room.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I do remember that.
When you would come in the front door, it was over to the left. Because mm-hmm. I actually helped with it one year.
Did you?
Yeah. Years ago.
I remember helping at a haunted house one time, and it was down near St. Stephen area, down near.
What were you doing down there?
Was with a friend, and they were doing a haunted house, and they asked, you know, hey, can you join in? I was like, yeah. So I was going to be Dracula in a casket, and I was going to pop out. Mm-hmm. It was a very low budget haunted house, so we had a casket or a box.
Sounds like they were employing you.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, it was. But the casket was propped up on two chairs. There was a chair on either end.
That was quite the altar.
And for most
pretty
of the
flimsy.
Night, well, for most of the night, it was all right. I would open up the door and I would pop out and boo, and you know, everyone would scream. Except for one of the last times when I slammed open the door, popped up, and fell. The whole casket.
You had to know. Murphy's Law. You had to know it was going to fall at some point during the night.
Dracula's a dork.
Yeah, the whole casket fell over, and I was, you know, and I was screaming like a girl. And it did really work out that time, and I was like, you know what,
and
this
it probably happened right as a big group of people were walking through. So you ruined the illusion for everyone.
Yeah, I did. I sparkled. I didn't. Oh, my
some
God.
Some girl's like, that's a fake Dracula. I'm not scared anymore.
Screaming like a girl. Are you anti-female?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm just anti-screaming like a girl in front of a big crowd.
Well, there were no jokes to be made there.
There was nothing.
So we will continue to the next subject.
Before we move on, want to bring in a new commercial from our one of our favorite sponsors, Ginger Top Records. We have a brand new product to release, and here it is. The 90s. Ah, yes, while they may have come and gone, it's never too late to relive those great times again. So grab your Beanie Babies, answer that beeper, blow the dust off your Discman, and listen to Steve Crowley sings The 90s.
Wish I was a little bit taller. Wish I was a baller. Wish I had a girl who looked good, I would call her. Wish I had a rabbit and a hat with a bat and a six-form pump. I had more you. I wanna run with you. Won't you let me run with you, yeah. Want you to hold my hand.
Steve Crowley sings The 90s.
Welcome.
You could only see the way she loves me. Maybe you would understand.
Yes, it's Steve Crowley sings The 90s.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I break your concentration?
Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. Getting jiggy with it. It is. Come on. Oh, my God. Here I am. Once again. Top of the world. Watch my blow. Here I go.
The greatest thing to hit the airwaves since the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Steve Crowley sings The 90s.
Oh, right.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Exclusively available on Ginger Top Records and at onlyfunnytous.com. All right, and welcome back to Only Funny to Us. This is TJ.
I got to get that album. Where do I get one?
The dumpster.
I'll be right back.
We got a couple out in the back. So, Steve, what goes through your mind when you're...
There's a whole bunch of them in here. Do you want one?
No.
Okay.
So what goes through your mind when you're channeling and you're singing those songs?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Yeah. How I wish that I could really sing. That's been a thing. I've always wished I could sing, and I will say this. I probably
should never do it again.
I think you know, back when I was a teenager, I don't think I had a horrible singing voice, but I started smoking and. I think smoking's killed my voice.
You went through puberty and
that law.
I've always wished that I could sing.
You wish you were a little bit taller.
At some point, several years ago, I finally accepted that I cannot sing worth a.
Well, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah.
So now, you know.
I got 22 copies.
This is still salvageable. I can't sing, but I could still, you know, use my voice to inspire people.
I don't think inspire is the word.
Inspire them not to make the same mistake.
We play it in the field to keep the corn free from crows. And
kids, don't start smoking when you're a teenager.
Keep snakes out of my yard.
You know, I just, if they ever have another seed situation somewhere, we'll just send them a copy of Steve Crowley sings the 90s, Steve in the 70s, mm-hmm. Steve Crowley romantic moods, and just have them blast that constantly. I promise you, whoever's in there is going to give up.
I think that's how we deal with ISIS.
I think they should send that over there.
Drop copies of the Steve's CD all over the Middle East.
Yeah, and then there'll be peace because they'll be like,
if they can do it with Britney Spears, they can use Britney Spears to drive, you know, terrorists crazy. They could do it with my voice.
I've seen Britney Spears. You, sir, are no Britney Spears.
Where was it? Somewhere in the Middle East during some battle or some war. You know, there's been so many.
They use it at Guantanamo.
Was it Guantanamo? Thank you.
Guantanamo.
Let's go to our resident historian, Steve Crowley.
Guantanamo. They played Britney Spears to drive the inmates crazy.
Well, I guarantee you, your CD would do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely. But see, you know, it's been used for some sort of good.
Screw waterboarding. Let's just play his CD.
Seriously,
we can find out everything. Oh, my God. I'll tell you.
Just don't play track four anymore.
TJ, you've got contacts in the government. See what you can do.
No more Journey.
What contacts? Especially Journey.
Especially Journey. We played that one over and over again.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Yeah. I've already. Somebody told me the other day.
Wonderful Steve Perry.
After they heard Steve's rendition of, was it Faithfully?
They got a divorce?
He was their new favorite person in the world.
Really?
And she wished that she would have married him.
Oh, my.
Who said that?
I can't tell you.
Somebody that's wearing a straitjacket, apparently.
Yeah, really. They want to marry me.
Re-listen to it. You can find it on our website if you want to find out what the hell she's talking about. All right. So moving on. 15 interesting facts about 80s movies. 80s movies are some of our favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see some interesting facts about movies from the 80s, such as John Cusack almost got the part of Bender from The Breakfast Club. Now, the shocking thing is when we discussed this earlier, is Ben... You've never seen The Breakfast Club.
I've seen most of it. I've never sat down just from beginning to end. No, the shocking thing was when you were hollering at me about not having seen it, and then I said, well, who is Bender? And you said, the principal.
I got it wrong.
And Steve goes, no, it wasn't. It was Judd Nelson's character.
I know it was.
Somebody owes me an apology.
It's not me. But could you see John Cusack playing Bender? I could almost see that.
I guess, you know. I mean, I've seen The Breakfast Club, but... That's not my favorite John Hughes movie by far.
What is?
16 Candles.
Really?
Yes. You can watch that movie over and over.
But not The Breakfast Club.
I am Samantha Baker.
I thought you were Ducky.
No, he is Samantha Baker. There is no doubt.
Literally.
I mean,
redhead.
There is no doubt. Robert Downey Jr. was considered for the role of Ducky in Pretty in Pink. John Cryer ended up getting the movie. John Cryer was a great Ducky.
Yep.
I don't think that Robert Downey Jr. could do it, but Robert Downey Jr. was great in Weird Science.
Yeah,
I mean, you got to admit. And Anthony Michael Hall. I'm trying to remember all the characters that were in that. Who was the hot chick
in
Weird Science?
Kelly LeBrock.
Yeah, Kelly LeBrock. LeBrock. Yeah.
Thank you, Cliff.
Yeah.
And Gary and Wyatt.
Gary
that was
Wyatt,
their name,
but I can't remember. It was Anthony Michael Hall, but the other
guy, he did that movie. He did a couple of other movies, and then he dropped out of
his
movie
voice. God damn it, Gary!
he dropped out of the business.
Terrible.
He did have a terrible voice.
I mean, especially the part in the movie where the bikers come into the house and he tries to act all tough.
And that the main biker with the bald head was in
Hills Have Eyes.
Yes, he was also in a music video, wasn't he?
He's in a lot of things.
Yeah, he was in a bunch of things. He was. I think he was in Mad Max as well, wasn't he?
I think he was in the Twisted Sister.
I believe he
was it Twisted Sister video.
Yeah, I believe he was in the Mad Max movies too.
At least one of them.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah.
So Harrison Ford had a cameo as Elliot's principal in E.T. But it was cut.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the guy that, I mean, having to make the call to cut Harrison Ford?
I don't even remember.
I don't even think they showed him.
He was one of the FBI guys, wasn't he?
The only thing I remember about E.T. is when I went to go see it the second time, I was damn determined not to cry.
See, I didn't cry the first time I saw it because everyone
again. I knew E.T. was going to survive, and I still cried.
Yeah, everyone ruined it for me. E.T. dies, but he comes back to life. So as I'm sorry, spoiler alert if nobody's seen E.T.
You can actually find that alternative ending on the YouTube.
There's actually a sequel to the movie done as a book called E.T. and the Green Planet. I actually read that book when I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah.
God, how sad.
Go ahead.
Also, the reason that Harrison Ford was frozen in carbonite at the end of Empire Strikes Back was because he had not signed the contract for the third movie yet.
Uh-huh.
So they needed an excuse to kill him off if he ended up backing out.
So in the books, he didn't actually get frozen in carbonite.
I don't read it unless it's got pictures and stuff and sound. I don't pay attention to it.
See Dick Run. See Jane.
Easy.
See Jane ride her bike to the store.
Oh yeah, that just that's really simple.
That settled it up. Yeah.
Good reading.
So how about Disney?
How about them?
Passed on Back to the Future because of the quasi-incestuous storyline involving a younger version of Marty McFly and his mom falling in love with him.
Disney, that bad.
I mean, it wasn't, but I mean, it's not part of Disney's forte. However, I've seen a bunch of stuff in some Disney movies where, you know, as an adult, you're looking at it like, all right, that's not for kids, including the infamous screw me look from Nala in The Lion King. Have you seen The Lion King?
Nope.
No.
And then when the leaves blow off the cliff and they form the word sex.
Right. But there's a scene where Simba and Nala, after they have been reunited as they are older, they're running around and playing. And Nala rolls down this hill and she looks up and...
Yeah. You told us before.
We're on this topic now. I'm just reiterating. Okay.
Help me, Cliff.
Unless you've got anything new to add, then shut up.
Neither do you.
Welcome to a previously recorded program.
Yeah, you're not adding anything new.
All right.
Welcome to the Department of Redundancy Department.
Well, I'm going
to
let y'all finish because apparently I'm repeating everything.
Well, give me the paper then.
Go ahead.
Give me the paper you're reading from.
Thank goodness he hadn't brought up a freaking roller coaster.
One time in Massachusetts. Even the audio system didn't like that one.
Oh, God, that's got to stay.
All right, so both Mickey Rourke and Sylvester Stallone passed on Beverly Hills Cop before it was offered to Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy was apparently third in line. I couldn't see Beverly Hills Cop working with either
one of those. No.
Either one. It wouldn't be anywhere near
as good.
That
would have been weird.
What about Burt Reynolds turned down the Jack Nicholson role in Terms of Endearment?
I don't think I ever saw that.
Nope, never saw it.
I've only seen pieces of it, but I can't imagine anyone else but Jack Nicholson doing that one. Now, in the first draft of When Harry Met Sally, which have all of y'all seen?
Yeah.
All right. I've watched it multiple times. Harry and Sally don't end up together.
Oh.
They end up apart.
I think I've heard that.
Which would be, I don't know, wouldn't be as good. I just couldn't imagine seeing this. Charlie Sheen turned down the lead in The Karate Kid.
The Ralph Macchio part.
Can you imagine Charlie Sheen as the Karate
Kid? I mean, they kind of look the same, like at that age. I mean, he kind of, you know. I mean, if you think back, Charlie Sheen was young because you know he was an outsider, and he started movies as a young guy.
Yeah, he'd been really strange as Mr. Miyagi.
Now, yeah, that would have
been racist.
More about interesting facts from movies from the 80s. Actresses who tried out for Princess Buttercup in The Princess Bride included Courtney Cox, Meg Ryan, and Uma Thurman.
I could
see Uma Thurman doing it.
Yeah, or even Meg Ryan, I think. Maybe. But Uma Thurman more than Meg Ryan, yeah.
But Robin Wright, she just did.
Oh, yeah.
She nailed it.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
You've never seen The Princess Bride?
I don't care about fantasy movies. Anything that has kings and princesses and dragons and forget it. I walked out of The Lord of the Rings. in the middle of it.
Why?
Because it was boring and stupid.
Well, there we go.
What was the last movie you saw and you watched all the way through?
You mean at the movie theater?
Anywhere. Either pay-per-view, you Redbox, movie
sure
theater.
I'm sure Ben's house. We watch movies all the time.
All right, then what'd you watch over there?
I don't remember. I don't even
last
remember.
Movie he watched.
Oh.
What?
Oh, Car Wash.
Jesus Christ. You sat through Car Wash.
I like Car Wash.
And you walked out of Lord of the Rings?
Car Wash is a great movie.
Yeah, I got into that.
Because when
really
I started playing it, Crowley goes, oh, God, not this, not Car Wash.
And I ended up liking it.
Oh, Jesus. But you walked out of Lord of the Rings, one of the great great literary
stupid
products of our time.
Stupid.
Anyway.
So I can't believe you watched Car Wash.
Yep.
Are you going to watch this? Because there's a new movie coming out before we finish up the list. Chips is being made into a movie.
I heard.
Really?
About
I haven't
that.
Heard yeah. that.
John Dax, something Dax. I can't think of his first name.
Like Dax Shepard?
No. It's killing me now. But anyway, he's wrote the screenplay.
Oh.
He's directing it, and he's going to star in it as well. But it's going to be about John and Ponch and Chips. I'm sorry. John Poncherelli and John Baker, the highway patrolman on motorcycles. That was a cool show. I did too.
I loved it.
I always watched it.
And I'm usually cynical about them remaking movies out of old TV shows.
Well, you know, I like the Starsky and Hutch remake that Owen Wilson and Ben Stiller did.
That was good. That was a good movie. That was really good. So Chips should turn out to be pretty good. What about the A-Team? Did you like the A-Team?
The movie?
Yeah.
Not really.
Really?
No.
Now, how much you want to bet that the actor that'll play Ponch will be A.C. Slater from State by the Bell?
Mario Lopez.
It's not Mario Lopez. They've already named the actor, and I don't have the information.
Is it an unknown?
No, he's been in a couple of movies.
Oh, okay. I just assumed it would go to someone like Mario Lopez.
Yeah.
Why?
It was a Hispanic guy.
Oh.
So? I mean, they're not going to get someone else. Well, I don't know. The way they've done these movies, you know, they usually change. They usually change them up like that. You get males playing traditionally female parts and stuff like that in the past.
That sounded like a fart.
All right. Next on the list.
Next on the licks.
The cigarettes that the boy smoked in Stand By Me were made of cabbage leaves.
Okay.
And if that was to protect their health or to taste better, I don't
know. How do they know smoking cabbage leaves would be any better than smoking tobacco leaves?
10 years later, River Phoenix dies of an 8-ball.
Died of cabbage leaf overdose.
It was all for the cabbage leaves. Richard Gere got the lead in American Gigolo because Christopher Reeve turned it down, and John Travolta backed out at the last minute.
Oh.
No horseback riding jokes over there, Cliff.
Oh, my neck!
So John Travolta, I was about to say,
what are you talking about?
John Travolta backed out, huh?
Yes. He backed out.
Backed in.
Backed into something, but he backed out.
Brad Pitt was turned down for Christian Slater's part in Heathers because he looked too nice. Now, I never saw Heathers.
I saw Heathers.
Yeah, did you? I saw it.
Very dark comedy.
I never saw that one. And Warner Brothers got 50,000 angry letters when Michael Keaton was cast as the lead in Batman.
You should have seen what the internet did when they cast Ben Affleck.
No, I was about to say. No. Wonder how many emails they got about that.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, God, his name just jumped out of my head that played the Joker in The Dark Knight.
Heath Ledger.
He just did the absolute best job ever. As a character in any of the Batman movies.
He was just good. Yeah.
He was just absolutely fantastic. I don't like Christian Bale as Batman.
I didn't either.
I just don't like him.
Why don't you like me?
Because you keep doing that with your voice. That's why.
Exactly. I never understood what was the voice change. What was the voice?
People wouldn't recognize him.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, get a voice box or something. For God's sake.
Joker.
I think Gotham. His suit's too tight.
Just showed you how good they really are.
I mean, it had to be exhausting to do his damn lines throughout the movie.
I bet he tore up his vocal cords over time.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I mean, that was just...
It's all right. John Travolta helped him afterwards.
I don't
something
get
about
it.
A massage.
I don't get it. Why do y'all keep talking about John Travolta?
It's a thinly veiled accusation that he withstands.
You should know a lot about that.
Yeah.
I've never heard any of this. I'm sorry. I'm just completely lost.
Apparently you are.
Anyway.
Once again, something about a massage.
Oh, okay.
All right, well, that was the last thing I had on my damn list was the 80s movies.
Well, that was pretty good.
I've got an interesting movie fact I don't know if y'all know.
What is it?
The voice of the demon in Exorcist was actually a woman.
Yep, it was a woman. That
Mercedes McCambridge.
She had a smoker's voice.
She was one of those older actresses that had the smoker's voice, like Lucille Ball did when she got.
Yeah.
No.
And she was a recovered alcoholic. Mm. She fell off the wagon on purpose to do the scene because of the things she had to say.
Wow. Really?
You know, like in the crucifix scene and everything. She was a Christian.
Okay.
So she fell off the wagon and started drinking.
Hammered.
She was drinking when she was doing the voiceovers to have liquid courage to be able to get through saying the things she had to say.
The one part of The Exorcist was the when they remade it. And they show them.
I didn't see the remake.
And really, it's mainly the same thing. It's the same movie, but they just added some digital effects into it. It's when Reagan comes walking down, running down the stairs backwards.
Like a spider.
Like doing a back bend. Mm-hmm. That was the freakiest thing.
Yeah, that's always freaky to see something doing.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah, some kind of contorted body thing, you know.
When I saw that, I was like, oh, good night. I got damn.
I remember the first time I saw the crucifix scene.
Oh yeah, how old were you?
I think I was a
five or six.
No. Actually, I think I was a teenager, and it just shocked the hell out of me.
Well, that's what it was all about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now I can watch it and I laugh.
So Cliff's got Cliff's got some more movie facts.
Yeah.
Here.
So you pulled up more of the list.
Yeah. There's one from Labyrinth, and all the ladies that were about our age will know that David Bowie had a very prominent package shown off, and they did it on purpose.
Really?
Apparently, we wanted to make him a young girl's idea of a pop star.
Yeah,
a picture if you want to see it.
No, put it up on the. I don't want to see him.
Come on, look at that.
Put it up on the website.
That's impressive.
I actually am kind of jealous of that.
Well, you know,
brother's backing.
But well, David Bowie was never going to be.
Well, you know the song Ziggy Stardust he sings. Mm. He says, "Well hung in snow white tan."
Yeah,
describing himself, I guess.
Now he's just showing off.
Well, let's see, 16 Candles. John Hughes was inspired to write 16 Candles after he received a headshot of Molly Ringwald.
She's just,
love that movie, love it.
The original Jake Ryan was Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, really?
Really? I didn't know that.
Really?
He was almost cast as Jake Ryan. The cake in the iconic final scene was made out of cardboard.
Cardboard. The guy who played Jake Ryan, I forgot his first name.
Matt Dillon?
No. He was an unknown.
Yeah, he looked like Matt Dillon. Yeah.
But he quit after that movie and retired out of Hollywood and
became a car salesman.
They finally tracked him down, and he runs and builds furniture in Pennsylvania.
Really? Is he Amish?
I don't know, but he owns his own furniture making company.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah,
got his big break on
his last name
candles.
Was Schlafling. I think it was Ryan Schlafling or something like that.
That Jesus. Actually does sound
Schlafling.
Somebody's
like
a little obsessed with this movie.
I love that movie. I read a lot of trivia on it.
Yeah. Well, I've got movies.
I am Farmer Ted. That was me in high school.
No. Farmer Ted was cool.
No, Farmer Ted was not cool.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't presented as cool in the movie.
Well, no, but
he got cool. No, right. But in the beginning, he wasn't.
Here we go. He wanted to be cool with everybody. He was cool with a certain group of people. You were cool with no one.
Yeah, well,
stating facts. I mean, we liked you. Everybody liked you, and that was fine. Our group of friends, but you weren't like this cool guy. Like, he had the two nerd dudes that looked up to, you know, that did what he said.
Yeah, I didn't have anybody looked up to me.
And one of them was John Cusack.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the other guy was.
And his sister was in that movie, too. She was the one that had the neck brace.
The neck brace, right. Yeah, Joan Cusack.
Trying to drink from the water fountain.
But Molly Ringwald, she's hot.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. I thought she was hot back then, for sure.
I remember. You remember the movie Grease 2?
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer?
I thought Michelle Pfeiffer was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen when that movie came out.
That was really a good movie.
I like Grease 2 better than Grease.
I do, too. I was just about to say the same thing.
Way better.
Have you ever seen it, Steve?
Yeah.
Multiple times better.
Now, back in the 70s when Grease came out and it was in the theaters, I still have this memory. Me and my brother had to go spend the night at our grandmother's that night, our grandmother, Mama Ruth, because my mom and dad went to go see it in the theaters here in downtown Hartsville. That was 1978, so I was 6 years old then. I thought Grease was a horror movie. I thought it was about grease, like the blob. I thought it was about this huge thing of grease.
Kill people. Somebody fried some chicken and then threw the grease in the driveway.
And I remember, I still have this memory. We're at my grandmother's, and my mom and dad finally got there after the movie to pick us up to take us home. And I kept asking my mom, well, how many people did the grease kill? And she had no idea what I was talking about. She's like, what are you talking about? And then she finally explained to me that Grease was not a horror movie.
That's a new.
That was a musical.
That's a new Crowley commercial.
Never heard
Grease.
Of that. Yeah.
It was a cool October evening.
They fried a turkey.
Oh, the grease.
All hell broke loose. Grease. All right, what do you got next?
Anthony Michael Hall's real-life mother and sister play his character Brian's mother and sister in The Breakfast Club.
They drop him off. His real-life mother picks him up or drops him off or both at the school.
And then John Hughes was a cameo at the end of it because he played Brian's father.
Yes, I do remember that. I do remember that.
Yep.
Mars rejected Steven Spielberg's request to use M&Ms rather than Reese's Pieces in E.T.
I did hear about that, and what a huge mistake that was for him.
They're probably still kicking themselves today.
Yeah, because they're really hurting.
Reese's Pieces?
They've suffered so much.
Do they even still make Reese's Pieces?
Yeah. But exactly.
But back then when the movie was out, everywhere.
Now they would have probably made a few more million dollars.
Right. Exactly.
But I think they're okay.
Yeah, I think they'll pay the light bill.
Yeah, that's true.
Originally, they weren't going to use a DeLorean in Back to the Future. They were going to use something that looked like a refrigerator.
What?
That's what it says.
It seemed like I do remember reading that.
It's kind of like from Bill and Ted's. I mean, they used the phone booth. Mm-hmm. I mean, the DeLorean is much cooler. What was the big controversy about the DeLorean?
John DeLorean needed funding to keep the whole company, the DeLorean Motor Company, afloat. And he supposedly entered into a money laundering and drug cocaine smuggling conspiracy with somebody, and the feds were wired and sent in as undercover people.
Because I remember somebody said
desperate for money.
I remember somebody said a joke: when you buy your DeLorean, look for your
snow tires.
Either snow tires or look for your rebate in the back seat or something like that. But it wouldn't have been. I mean, you can't get up to 88 miles an hour in a friggin' refrigerator.
No.
This doesn't make it. I mean,
they're going to have to rewrite the whole.
Yeah, there'd have been another way.
Whole scene.
Yeah,
they wouldn't have been in a mall parking lot with a refrigerator.
Did you ever notice? And I never noticed this, but I actually went back and looked when at the beginning of the movie when they're at the mall. It's the Twin Pines Mall.
Yep.
Right.
Goes back in time. He hits a pine tree. If you look at it later, it says the Lone Pine Mall.
Right. Exactly. I do remember that.
I remember that pointed out
in that movie. They really did a lot of creative things with all of that. That was that was really forward thinking.
Yeah.
What else we got?
There are two other siblings in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. They were completely cut out of the film in the final edit.
I did not know that.
Two younger siblings.
Really?
The whole lecture scene in Bueller.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All improvised and done in one take.
You know, they just actually sold that house that was Cameron's house, where the Ferrari was housed.
Mm-hmm.
It was up for sale. I think they sold it for like $1.7 million.
There's a theory, and I think it just plays off of the Fight Club theory, but there's a theory that in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ferris doesn't exist. He is an alternate personality of Cameron.
Oh.
Because Ferris and Ferrari,
They cite that. They cite the fact that he's always sitting behind him when he's driving. He lets his alter ego, Ferris, take over. He predicts. But, predicts a lot of the.
That's interesting.
That's just people's theories.
But if that was the case, then there would be no scenes with Ferris by himself.
This is all playing out in Cameron's head, supposedly.
Okay, yeah. Well, maybe then. But
in Fight Club, were there scenes of Brad Pitt by himself without Edward Norton?
Don't know. Never saw.
Well, don't ruin it for me because I've never seen Fight Club.
Oh, okay.
I've never seen it, but I kind of got the gist of it.
Okay. You're going to wait another 10, 15 years to check it out?
Or? Probably, yeah. I'll watch that when I'm watching Lilyhammer.
Well, I'm sure. But yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, how'd that go? Okay, tonight after the podcast, I'm going to sit down and I'm going
to
watch.
Yeah, that night after the podcast, I sat down and went to bed.
Done, Jack.
All right, what's next?
In The Princess Bride, Robin Wright, who's from Texas, had to fake her British accent.
And she did a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Or she, let's see.
Crowley, let's hear your British accent.
Hello. How are you doing tonight?
So you're East End. Keep going.
I'd like to, go get some coffee.
Coffee?
Now you're Sussex. Now you're doing Sussex,
actually.
I don't
know these regional dialects.
I watch a lot of BBC.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I watch BBC too, but I don't know individual dialects.
When do you watch BBC?
Do Yorkshire.
I don't know.
Okay, do Scottish.
Hold on. No. When do you watch BBC? You don't even...
At your house?
Oh, when is that?
Oh, my God.
Okay, I can do Liverpool.
I've seen BBC is what he should have said.
Do Liverpool. That's the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Scouser. Go ahead.
What could I say?
Say...
I don't really know. I'll just, just try to think up some things in my head.
All right, I'll buy that one.
Yeah,
not bad. I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Barely passed.
I used to listen to a lot of Beatles, and I watched Hard Day's Night.
And he watches BBC at my house, apparently.
Lots of times.
Apparently, you don't know. You're not aware that he's actually in your living room late at night watching it.
I guess not. I go to bed, he sneaks in from Columbia. Comes in and watches BBC.
You know what?
What?
And hold on. Yeah, exactly. I just got
BBC America. It's a rhetorical question, damn it.
I just got BBC America like a week ago, so I'm not sure when you sneak in watching it.
I'm starting a week
ago. I used to watch it a lot with my dad. I do
remember
that.
Oh, here we go.
Well, no, my dad loved Keeping Up Appearances.
Yeah.
Me and my mom and dad used to watch that all the time.
And what dialect was that?
I don't know. I'd have to hear it.
Upper middle class British.
There are as many dialects here or there as there are here, and they're a tenth the size of us.
You know that Crowley,
the lady of the house.
That makes me think of something. We were watching something. I don't remember what it was, but it was cold, and Crowley was saying, "I can't wait till winter. I love winter." But yet, when winter gets here, what does he do? TJ
complains about it being cold,
but yet. All summer long, I love winter. Winter's just my favorite. I wish it was cold all year long.
Because I think he just wants to. I think he wants someone to cuddle with him. Well, he wants it to be cold, and he wants to put blankets
wrong
on.
Wrong room with that for that.
And
so what's the deal with that, Corey?
I don't want any of you bitches cuddling me.
No worries.
Yeah.
So what's up with that? Why do you claim to love winter so much, but yet when it gets cold, all you do is bitch about it being cold?
I don't know. I guess just. The grass is greener, always greener on the other side for me.
Well, it still has to be mowed.
Well,
we're having some electronic.
We'll have to get somebody else
technical
to mow it.
Difficulties that we.
Well, I think everyone does that
down.
when it's the dead of summer and it's 1,000 degrees outside. Oh, I love winter. I can't wait for it to be winter and fall. And then when it gets winter,
mostly the reason why I say I like winter and fall better is because it's not necessarily because I do like cold weather, and I love it when it snows, and it's so exciting when we get a chance to snow here. And
I just want my beard.
It happens, but what it mainly is just I like wearing winter clothes better. I like winter clothes better than summer.
He likes hiding
because it covers up your fat gut.
Like because it covers up my skinny fat.
Your skinny fat.
Qualify it.
Yeah, that's what he is. Skinny fat.
I like sweatshirts. I like sweaters. I like hoodies. I like wearing. My peacoat.
So you're a fashion, you're a clothes horse is what you're saying.
No, I just like wearing winter clothes more. I like winter clothes better than summer clothes.
Because there's more fashion into it.
Sweaters. I don't know. I've just always been that way.
That blazer you've got with the suede on the elbows.
Do you have one?
Damn right.
Used to. I don't have it anymore.
Do you have a Cosby sweater?
No, I don't have a Cosby sweater.
That would be awesome.
I have a couple of cable knit sweaters.
Give him time and enough trips to the Goodwill.
But those sweaters are too big now, so I'm going to have to buy new sweaters this
Or buy new
winter.
Used sweaters from the Goodwill store.
Hey, nothing wrong with Goodwill.
Exactly.
And I am
buy
so glad.
New used sweaters from the Goodwill store.
And I am exactly so glad the Goodwill opened up here in Hartford.
You better start buying them now because they'll be gone.
Goodwill.
Why not?
Because nothing in there is my size. When you have people my size,
they keep their clothes
until they wear out. They don't.
Right.
You know.
Right. But you get but Steve can wear anything.
Steve,
there.
He can shop in for days in there.
He shops at Babies R Us. Gap for kids.
Once
upon a child.
I have to get hats from the kids.
He goes
department.
To Wii Usables.
I have to get caps. And
he's not shopping. He's just hanging out.
Yeah, I have to get caps from the kids department because adult caps are too big for my head.
How old are you? I'm six.
What's up?
You in first grade.
Dang, girl. You could pass for a second grade. What's up?
You still writing with a big pencil?
But now my hair is a lot more poofier because I've let it grow out. So maybe I can wear an adult cap now.
A lot more poofier. Couldn't it be just a lot more poofy?
You look like Minnie McElmore.
I think I look like a racer head.
So does he.
Farmer Ted.
Oh.
We need Jack. Remember that?
No.
When he's under the table.
When he's under the glass table.
Yeah. We need to Photoshop him into the Breakfast Club or 16 Candles movie poster. Ben, can we make that happen?
Yeah.
But with his poopy hair right now.
Well,
that was the most disinterested. Yeah,
that was an idea popping into somebody
ever heard in my life. Yeah, whatever.
Even the audio system didn't like it.
Sorry for the electronic farts.
I think, and I got a new theory. I think maybe it's our smartphones.
It's possible.
Like they do it at work.
I think it probably is.
I think it's the smartphone.
But it wouldn't be picking it up at the microphone, would it?
Yeah, it would. It's the smartphones. So put it down and put it away.
Mine picks up on my
I think it's yours.
God almighty. I think it's mine. Yeah.
Let's see. We'll test that theory.
Mm-hmm. Slap that phone out his hand.
But anyway. All right.
Slap that bitch.
No, it just did it.
Not mine.
My phone's
mine's
up
over there.
Mine's back behind mine.
Well, I'm just stumped. I don't know what it is.
Is it? Are you getting text messages?
No, not right now.
I can swear it's probably the radio waves coming into the phone from like
something
the text messages
plugged in somewhere.
Some kind of notifications, and I only get texts from you guys, so I know I'm not getting texts right
now. Yes, 89 in the middle of the night.
I know that is so funny, isn't it? Wake up in the morning and look at your thing, and it's like 65 freaking text messages.
I keep up.
I'm like,
them.
What the hell?
118.
Don't you people ever sleep?
We got a big edit.
Right,
are you vampires?
Yeah.
Jesus,
it's not the text coming through. So
I don't know what it is.
I don't either. There's something in the wires over there.
Well, this has been a very interesting show today. Thanks for tuning in. I do want to, once again, thanks to Kathy Elliott and The List Magazine, which can be found in and around the area for the cover shot, for the article. It was a lot of fun sitting down chatting with her, and hopefully we'll be able to get her more involved into the podcast. Speaking of other podcasts, go to the OFTUnetwork.com website. You can check out our friends with Al's Toddcast and their podcast that they put up on a weekly basis. But don't forget ours on OnlyFunnyDots.com and on iTunes. And you can get us on the OFTUnetwork.com website as well. So as always, and if you enjoyed Crowley singing earlier, I'm sure you're going to enjoy this.
I love you, Kathy. I love you, Al's Toddcast. Are we ready?
Yeah. Didn't you have a little special?
We were sitting at Ben's today watching Love Boat.
And Love Boat.
One of the episodes we were watching had Joan Rivers on it playing one of the passengers. So I figured, and I can't say honor. I can't say
image.
Honor. I
in
guess
memory.
Memoriam. In memoriam. Thank you.
Memorandum.
Memorandum.
Posthumous honor.
In memorandum of Joan Rivers passing away, I'm going to perform a special little ditty for you. Yeah.
Here we go.
exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. And love, life's sweetest reward, let it flow. It floats back to you. The love boat soon will be making another run. The love boat promises something for everyone. Set a course for adventure, your mind on a new romance. Hurt anymore. It's an open smile on a friendly shore. It's love.